Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. California's High Court upholds partner spousal equality, Aussie activist Rodney Croom stays a big target, and San Francisco's Marion Mayor Gavin Newsom goes to the movies. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 6, 2005. The California Supreme Court ruled unanimously this week that businesses must treat the state's registered domestic partners the same as married couples. The decision said that the state legislature's upgrade of the benefits and responsibilities of domestic partnerships that went into effect on January 1st made it abundantly clear that an important goal of the Domestic Partner Act is to create substantial legal equality between domestic partners and spouses. We interpret this language to mean that there shall be no discrimination in the treatment of registered domestic partners and spouses. With that reasoning, the court found that the Bernardo Heights Country Club had engaged in impermissible marital status discrimination when it denied spousal privileges to a lesbian member's registered partner. The club allowed not only members' marital partners, but also their children and grandchildren to use its golf course without charge. But Birgit Kobke's partner, Kendall French, was treated only as her guest, limited to golfing six times per year and paying each time. The club's policy would also have denied French the right to inherit Kobke's membership.
The club defended its policy as directed toward the legitimate goal of creating a family-friendly environment. But the state high court's ruling asserted that the partnership law seeks to promote and protect families, as well as reduce discrimination based on gender and sexual orientation. The club must pay the state a fine of $4,000. While the court's decision may bode well for pending lawsuits for marriage equality, religious conservatives are trying to put initiatives before California voters next year that would bar same-gender couples from both marrying and partnerships. Two proposed initiatives were approved for signature gathering last week, and a third is in process. One group, Vote Yes Marriage, is suing the state attorney general, even though he qualified their petition, in part because he changed its title from Voters' Right to Protect Marriage to Elimination of Domestic Partnership Rights.
The California Supreme Court ruling affects about 27,000 couples currently registered as domestic partners. But another ruling this week by the highest court of the Cherokee Nation is believed to affect just one. The Cherokee Judicial Appeals Tribunal dismissed a lawsuit that had blocked the tribe's registration of the marriage of Don McKinley and Kathy Reynolds, finding the plaintiff had no standing to sue since the marriage did not harm him. This clears the way for tribal certification of the marriage the Cherokee couple celebrated last year, even though the Cherokee Nation Tribal Council reacted to that wedding by unanimously voting to change the language of its law to restrict marriage to one man and one woman. Previously, that law had used the Cherokee terms, cooker and companion, instead of wife and husband. Because of tribal sovereignty, the marriage would also have to be recognized by the U.S. state where the women reside, Oklahoma, despite its conflict with a state constitutional amendment voters approved by about 3-1 last year.
Primarily to join legal briefs in lawsuits, the Board of Trustees of the American Psychiatric Association this week voted 14-1 to adopt a resolution supporting marriage equality for same-gender couples, and opposes restrictions to those same rights, benefits, and responsibilities. That's the final step to establish the official position of the organization since the APA's annual conference had approved the resolution in May. The APA is believed to be the first medical group to formally take this stand, although the American Psychological Association had already done so.
But the Oregon State Legislature adjourned this week without a floor vote in the Republican-controlled House on a bill to establish both registered partnerships for same-gender couples and civil rights protections for lesbi-gays. That kills the bill, despite Governor Ted Kulongoski's vocal support and almost 2-1 passage by the Democrat-controlled Senate. in large part to block the measure, the House Republicans had changed a long-standing procedure that had given individual representatives a chance to try to bring stalled bills to the floor. Actually, House Republicans had already drastically rewritten the measure, eliminating the civil rights protections and replacing the partnerships with much weaker reciprocal benefits open to any two adults.
Spanish lawmakers enacted marriage equality for same-gender couples last month, but some judges are resisting the move. At least two judges have denied those marriages, referring them to the nation's constitutional court, while others have required binational couples to certify the marriage will be recognized in the foreigner's home country. Over the last 2 weeks, the government has fired back. First, a panel of attorneys who advised the Attorney General affirmed that binational couples can marry in Spain, regardless of the Second Nation's position on the matter. Then, this week, Director of the Civil Register Pilar Blanco Morales discussed marriage as she spoke on family law at a university. On the binational issue, she pointed out that Spaniards have often been allowed to marry foreigners in defiance of other nations' prohibitions against divorce and interracial unions, and said that the same standard should apply for same-gender couples. Her department has distributed a memo to this effect. She also denounced the judges who raised constitutional questions, declaring they had made fraudulent use of their referral power and were acting in an anti-democratic fashion by countering the parliament. She believes that when judges are called on to marry couples, they are acting as civil servants and should be accountable to her department in this regard.
British lawmakers last year enacted powerful civil partnerships for same-gender couples that are due to begin in December, but some registrars are expected to refuse to preside at their registration as a matter of conscience, and more than a third of traditional wedding venues have indicated they'll reject partnership celebrations. The Association of Registrars and Celebratory Services formally called on all registrars to officiate for partnerships, but the superintendent registrar said the partnership law lays responsibility for the contracts on the local authorities rather than the individual registrars. The national lesbi-gay advocacy group Stonewall admitted it might not be able to do much about individual registrars, but it's lobbying for legislation to specifically require that provision of goods and services make no distinction between marriage and civil partnership ceremonies. The current epicenter of this UK-wide controversy is London's Bromley Council, which is considering denying use of its municipal properties for partnership celebrations. That led about 100 protesters to march on the Bromley Civic Center this week, where they delivered a petition with 2,000 signatures to a council representative.
And the UK civil partnerships are also creating headaches for the Church of England, trying to walk the tightrope between the rules of church and state. Church leaders agreed that priests could contract the partnerships and receive the attendant employee benefits, but only if those priests remained celibate. That outraged Archbishop Peter Akinola of Nigeria, leader of the largest national group in the Global Anglican Communion and the most vocal of its anti-gay conservatives. He is calling for disciplinary action against Archbishop of Canterbury Rowan Williams and for suspension of the Church of England from the Global Communion. This could lead to the long-feared schism in the world church, as the Archbishop of Canterbury is its so-called first among equals and the Church of England is the original Anglican Church.
The Presbyterian Church of East Africa this week adopted a resolution to refuse to work with any church or group it deems to support homosexuality, which it denounced as immoral behavior. The 400 clergy members at their annual meeting in Mombasa believe this stand to be part of their commitment to strengthening marriage.
But Jamaica's government is finally ready to consider decriminalizing homosexual acts if it would help prevent the spread of HIV. Previously, the administration of Percival Patterson had stifled any discussion of repealing the sodomy law. But Junior Education Minister Donald Rodd, who chairs the Parliamentary Committee on Human Resources and Social Development, last week proposed the debate as a matter of public health, along with possible legalization of prostitution. That came as the committee was developing its own report on AIDS and was reviewing a report from the New York-based group Human Rights Watch, which suggested that Jamaica's anti-gay climate interfered with AIDS prevention. JFLAG, the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays, welcomed the prospect of public discussion, but as one member remarked, we can always change laws, but the real problem is behavior change. In a nation where entertainers and politicians are rewarded for anti-gay statements, and violence against lesbi gays is routine.
And finally, it's a very different story from another Caribbean island this week, St. Lucia. Even though homosexual acts are illegal there too, if rarely prosecuted. It was noted that the gender-neutral language of the marriage laws just might mean it's already legal for same-gender couples to marry, and that the government should act quickly to review the situation. But that was not to start a mad dash to change the law, the Constitution, or anything else to stop gay and lesbian marriages. The remarks came from the vice president of the St. Lucia Hotel and Tourism Association, Alan Chastanet, who hopes the island can lucratively tap what he considers a huge market of same-gender couples who might come to St. Lucia for weddings or honeymoons.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 6, 2005, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
The saga of Zach, the 16-year-old Tennessee boy who told the world in his online blog about being forced to attend an ex-gay ministry by his father, appears to be ending. This Way Out's Jerry Trowbridge, who's continued to follow the story, tells us that Zach returned to the internet this week following his release from the so-called conversion therapy facility to delete several thousand messages from well-wishers and post a new message trying to take himself out of the spotlight with some well-chosen neutral words. "I'm not going to allow myself to be pressured into a response of any kind," he wrote, adding, "I'm trying my best." With his constituents longing to say, "I do," he did, creating a marriage equality firestorm that's still burning around the U.S. Meet the courageous, or notorious, mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom, later in the program. The name Rodney Croom is almost synonymous with the struggle for LGBT rights in Australia. Spokesperson for the Tasmanian Gay and Lesbian Rights Group, Croom led the long campaign to decriminalize homosexuality in his state and to pass some of the most progressive laws in the country. But he says there's still plenty more work to be done, and he's spreading the word. This Way Out correspondent John Frame in Brisbane, Queensland, had a chance to ask Croom what keeps him going and what he thinks the next step should be.
One of the famous statements from George Bernard Shaw apparently is to the effect that a life trying to do something is not wasted. A life doing nothing is wasted. So with the efforts that are happening in Australia recently, like the Tasmanian Gay and Lesbian Rights Group especially, you're still joining and looking for recognition of relationships, especially marriage, and more recently then also an action to try to have the Red Cross treat gay men with the same sort of equity that they treat heterosexual men and women.
Well, yes, we are. As you've said, a case was launched just a few days ago by a young gay man in Launceston with the support of the Gay and Lesbian Rights Group down there and also the Hobart Community Legal Service, and he's seeking equity in blood donation. And from the tone of your question, I think what I take from that is this the time in Australian history to be putting our heads above the parapets and saying, hey, look, there still is inequity. Same-sex couples are still not allowed to get married in most federal laws. They're not even recognised at all. Should gay and bisexual men be completely banned from giving blood when the overwhelming majority of gay and bisexual men pose no health risk whatsoever as potential blood donors? The answer we give to those questions is that reform is still necessary. As long as there's inequality, then we need to be fighting that inequality. But I'd go further, and I'd say that it's precisely because of the times we live in that we need to be fighting these battles, even more vigorously than we have in the past. There are people on the left side of Australian politics, in the Labor Party, for instance, and others, who think that progressive causes should make themselves as small a target as possible. And we've heard that in terms of the Labor Party. It wants to make itself a small target. And there are other people in, say, the LGBT movement or the Aboriginal movement or the women's movement who say now's not the time. We need to be making ourselves a tiny target. What I hear there is we need to go into hibernation. I think we should be doing exactly the opposite and making ourselves as big a target as possible. What I mean by that is that we have core human rights, which the particularly the religious right in Australia and in the United States and right around the Western world is aiming to wind back. They want to roll back the rights we've already achieved. If we want to protect those core rights, if we want to protect our heart, then we need to blow ourselves up as big as possible. They can take pot shots at our fingers and our arms and our legs if they want. But if we don't say, look, these are all our claims on equity right now, these are the ways that we're not treated justly, if we retreat from that, if we retreat just an inch, then the next thing we'll find is our very hearts being ripped out. We saw that just this year in Western Australia, where core human rights achieved several years ago, the Liberal Party there said if it was elected, it would roll them back. That's only the beginning. We can't afford to take anything for granted.
Now, I've seen one opinion expressed on one of the queer lists that I subscribe to, that it's no use going around confronting people because you just put people off. You put people, you know, against you. You're much better off being such a nice person as a gay, lesbian, bisexual or transgender person that people will want to give you rights. Do you think that there's any great wealth in going in that direction?
No. No one's ever achieved justice or equity by being nice. They've achieved justice and equity by being calm and reasonable and intelligent. They've achieved justice and equity by being strong and defiant and by standing up for themselves. They've never achieved justice and equity by being pleasant. There are people in the 1950s in the United States, particularly people of colour, who said now is the very worst time that we could stake our traditional claims on justice because the United States is at its most conservative. Compared to the 1920s and 30s, or even during the war years, the United States is more conservative than ever. And they were right in one way. The United States was more conservative. But it was exactly at that moment that brave and constructive and intelligent black people stood up for themselves and sat at the front of the bus and began a movement that in turn sparked the revolutions that we saw in the 1960s in the United States. It's precisely at moments like these that we should not and can never retreat.
Were you rather amazed to see the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby manage to survey 650 or more people, and they found that there is overwhelming support for recognition within LGBTs of relationships and a strong support for marriage?
Well, I was a little bit surprised that the figure was so incredibly high. 80% or something support the right to marriage, and 50% actually think they might get married. I mean, wow. What that says to me, of course, is that all those gay and lesbian advocates and all those Labor Party politicians who for the last year have been telling us that this isn't an issue for queer Australians, that it should go down the agenda, that it should be suppressed, that we shouldn't talk about it, that there are more important issues like violence on the streets or anti-homophobia in schools, all of which, of course, are very important, that marriage is not an issue. Well, it obviously is an issue, and it's obviously an issue to the people who those particular advocates and Labor Party politicians aren't listening to. And that excuse has now been taken away. Marriage should be one of the most important issues that we campaign for, along with all the others. It should no longer be suppressed.
That was Australian activist Rodney Croom speaking with our man in Brisbane, John Frame. You can blog with Croom at www.rodneycroome.id/weblog.
This is Gavin Newsom, mayor of San Francisco, the most diverse and welcoming city in the world, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
Some politicos say he deserves all the credit, some give him all the blame, for the 29 days that shook up a nation last year. San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom was the star of that real-life drama, and now he's the star of the documentary Pursuit of Equality. It's a blow-by-blow account of what happened in City Hall between February 12, 2004, the first day marriage licenses were issued to gay and lesbian couples, and March 11th, when the California Supreme Court ordered them stopped. This Way Out's Steve Pride has preview clips, comments by Pursuit of Equality's co-directors, and chats with Mayor Newsom.
Gavin Newsom is a millionaire, has movie star looks, is mayor of San Francisco, one of the world's great cities, and is the subject of a new documentary, Pursuit of Equality.
You know what? I'm proud of one thing, that I represent one of the most extraordinary cities in the world, where we're living together and advancing together across every conceivable kind of difference. This is what it's about. For those that want to theorize about discrimination, we wanted to put a practical face on it. We wanted to unite people, bring people together. We wanted to affirm marriage, and I think in San Francisco what we've been doing is affirming marriage. And I'm just one person, but I'm proud to be the one person that's standing for those principles that I think stood in this city for generations.
This city is in defiance to the laws of this state, and he is acting in lawlessness. And that is why there is lawlessness here on our sidewalk here today, is because our mayor, this mayor of this city, has defied God's law.
On January 20th, 2004, in his State of the Union address, President Bush said, "We must defend the sanctity of marriage." 23 days later, Mayor Gavin Newsom authorized San Francisco city officials to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
I guess I realized when I got into office that guys like me come and go, and sooner than we think. We're just pictures on a wall and a proclamation as we hand off the baton to someone else. And you got a moment in time, and you got an opportunity to advance something you believe in. Otherwise, you play in the margins, and you look back, and you start regretting. I'm not interested in dreaming of regretting. I want to try to do what I can to say what I'm saying privately in a public way.
More than ever, Americans are cynical about government. It's shocking to us when a politician chooses principle over polls. And at least technically, Gavin Newsom is a politician.
I guess I'm trying not to be. I mean, it's funny. I've been in politics about a decade. And, you know, I'm also a student of politics. And the people I admire most are the people that actually stood on their principles. And, you know, I want to look back and feel good about this experience. I want to look back and say, boy, you know, I did everything I could do in the 4 years that I was given opportunity to do it. And one of those things, obviously, that was near and dear to me was the notion that so many people privately they were talking about the idea of marriage, and none of us had the courage to necessarily say it publicly. And those were members of my own party, the Democratic Party, that have always stood up on principles, women's rights, the rights of minorities, human rights around the world and the like. And I just felt like we were running the 90-yard dash on this issue.
Newsom received over 1,400 death threats, and prominent Democrats failed to rally in his support. Some even claimed his actions doomed the party's presidential nominee, John Kerry.
I wasn't surprised. I mean, privately disappointed, publicly, you know, try to put a good face on it because, you know, I didn't want to make this a wedge issue or exacerbate the fact that it already was a wedge issue and could be used against not only the party, but even the party using it against itself and imploding. And I think in many respects, we did. You know, people didn't believe John Kerry when he said his position was exactly the same as George Bush's and Dick Cheney's on gay marriage. And they didn't believe him because they know better. They know the values of the party. And that's why if it hurt him, it hurt him on that basis in principle alone. They didn't believe him. Otherwise, gay marriage shouldn't have been an issue in the campaign because, again, they shared the exact same position publicly.
This March, a San Francisco Superior Court judge declared California's ban on same-sex marriage unconstitutional, setting the stage for a future California Supreme Court ruling. I asked Newsom his thoughts on what this future holds.
Well, I think it's absolutely extraordinary what's happened in the last year and a half. I never would have imagined waking up one day and reading, as we all did, about what happened in Spain, for example. That is a significant, significant thing in the movement around the world. I mean, you've got Cambodia, Netherlands, you've got, of course, Canada recently, you've got states around the country on civil unions. It just seems increasingly likely that it's well within our grasp. It's in my lifetime, it's in your lifetime that we're going to see the notion of equality spread not only around the world but throughout this country.
February and March of 2004 became known as the Winter of Love. For San Francisco and Mayor Gavin Newsom, it was a period of extraordinary highs and devastating lows.
The hardest part was watching people that I admire and respect turn on me and attack and take advantage politically and otherwise about what we were trying to accomplish. That was the most disappointing thing. The most extraordinary thing, I guess, was the depth and breadth that this issue and our small, modest act had not only across the city and the state and the rest of the nation, but around the world.
By March 11th, 2004, When the California Supreme Court ordered the San Francisco marriages halted, over 4,000 couples had been wed, including a jubilant Rosie O'Donnell.
I'd like to thank the city of San Francisco for this amazing... for the amazing stance that the mayor has taken, and for all of the people here who assisted not just us, but the thousands and thousands of other law-abiding, loving American families who want the rights that every other married couple is entitled to.
My name is Jeff Callen. I'm the producer and co-director of Pursuit of Equality. I think that Gavin, Mayor Newsom, is a really unique guy. He really cares about what he does. He founded a company called Plump Jack in San Francisco. It's a multi-million dollar company. He's successful, but he gave it all up to become a mayor of a city because he saw that there was a need to fix the city. And he doesn't need to be a mayor. He doesn't need the job. He doesn't need to be a politician. He has a career in the hotel and restaurant business. But I think because he has something to fall back on, it's almost like Jimmy Stewart in the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where he's a guy who just wants to make a difference. And that's why he's able to do what he does, because he doesn't really care if people agree with him or disagree with him, but he does what he knows and he thinks is best for the city and for people.
It's Mike Shaw, co-director of Pursuit of Equality. What I really feel that we have accomplished in the film is to give a real clear and unbiased look at Mayor Gavin Newsom in context to the man on the podium and the man in the back chambers. Is there that continuity? Is what you're hearing on the podium what he's really believing and what he's driving for in the back room in the chambers while they're strategizing with the team? And I think that that's something that was really unique about the documentary. We actually see him in action. We actually see him struggling, strategizing, and just executing from the core of what he believes in. And I think that that's what really makes this mayor so great.
What does Mayor Gavin Newsom hope audiences take away from the film Pursuit of Equality?
I think most importantly, the fact we're talking about human beings, talking about families, cousins, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, fathers. We're talking about people. We're talking about, you know, principles that transcend all of us and the notion of people coming together. I hope they take away that this issue is not something to deal with in the abstract. It's not about them. It's about all of us. And it's about what we stand for and what it's all about. And so I hope they really understand and put a human face on this issue.
This has been a conversation with documentarians Jeff Callen, Mike Shaw, and San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom. Pursuit of Equality is currently on the Film Fest circuit and seeking distribution. You can view a 5-minute trailer at pursuitofequality.com. As always, more information on this and other queer films can be found at prideonscreen.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, Jerry Trowbridge, John Frame, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Josh Groban performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Don't forget you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please find out how you can help keep this program on the air by logging on to our website. For associate producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 6RTR, Perth, West Australia, KUNR, Reno, Nevada, WHYS, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay a big target and stay tuned.